Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Last week on Viewpoints, we talked a bit about why a visually impaired person might want to use various social media tools. This week, we're going to talk about several specific tools and how to use them.
Last week, we spoke with Victor Tsaran and Jennison Asuncion. This week, we'll be speaking with Jonathan Mosen. And this week's tips come from Jonathan Mosen.
The one thing I would say generally about social networking is I think that you do have to understand that when you post to these social networks, you are publishing. And I sometimes draw breath in horror when I see some of the stuff that people publish on these social networks, because there's no doubt that if you're applying for a job, one of the first things that many employers will now do is check out your Facebook and Twitter page. And if you are posting about drunken binges and goodness knows what else, then that's hardly a good advertisement for yourself to an employer. So people just need to be a little bit circumspect and remember that they are publishing on these things.
And that advice may sound pretty similar to some advice that we got last week, but as long as you're prudent in your use of social media, you can actually get a lot out of it.
But I'm sure we all heard horror stories on the news. You hear many cases these days of people who applied for a job and it looks like they're going to get it, and then all of a sudden they find out their employer found out something on the web that indicated maybe they didn't want that person in their employee after all.
And here's some more advice from Jonathan about using social media with the family.
And I also think that one's privacy is important and you have to be a bit savvy about who you are sharing what with. And I also think it's very important. I have two teenage children and two who are preteen. And I think it is really important that if you're a parent, that you monitor their use of social network and instill some common sense in terms of how to use these social networks. Because just like any physical community, there are places that you shouldn't really wander and there are undesirable people in any community and you have to be wary of that.
So be a little bit careful. With any new tool or with any tool comes certain responsibilities and certain care that has to be taken.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Jonathan Mosen. And you may recognize Jonathan. We've spoken with him in several prior shows, including number 1211 and 1212 about highlights from the 2012 CSUN conference. That was officially the 27th annual International Technology and Persons with Disabilities conference organized by the Center on Disabilities at California State University, Northridge. And we also spoke with Jonathan just a couple of weeks ago about portable braille displays. So here's Jonathan introducing himself again.
I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm Vice President of Blindness Hardware Product Management at Freedom Scientific. I'm based in New Zealand, but work for Freedom Scientific in Florida.
And I take it you're visually impaired, Jonathan.
I'm totally blind.
And what was the cause of that?
It's a condition called Norrie's syndrome. It's an X-linked genetic condition.
You've been blind since birth?
Yes.
And attended schools for the blind? And
yes, initially, and then went to a mainstream, what we call intermediate school in New Zealand, and high school after that, and then on to university.
And besides his day job at Freedom Scientific, Jonathan also runs a radio station called Mushroom FM.
And why do they call it that?
Mushroom FM is called that because it's the home of the fun guys, you see. And it's at mushroomfm.com, and we have broadcasters in, about 9 or 10 countries now. We have over 40 presenters who present live music-based internet content from around the globe. The majority of them are blind, but not all. And we pride ourselves on a very high standard of content. Mushroom FM has been around for nearly 2 years now and has been quite ahead among the blind community, particularly the Twitter-using blind community.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is how a visually impaired person can use social media, including Facebook, Twitter, and several others. Jonathan, everybody's heard about Facebook. It seems like almost everybody is using it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I like to think of Facebook as like a supermarket. When you look at Twitter, it does one thing. So it's kind of like a specialty store. But Facebook does a whole bunch of things. It does status updates like Twitter, so you can tell people what you're doing, what you're up to. It also does other things, though. You can belong to groups on Facebook where you can have discussions. You can use it as a check-in service so that you can specify the location that you're at. You can play games, not many of which, to the best of my knowledge, are accessible. You can also instant message, and there are a number of third-party applications that we are already familiar with that now facilitate Facebook instant messaging as well, including Windows Live Messenger and Skype. So really, there's a bunch of ways in which you can interact with your friends. On Facebook, you can give different classifications to different friends. So you can set up a group of family members and send a post that only they see or they don't see.
I look at Facebook with JAWS, and it just seems like there's all this stuff on there, you know, all these words. I can't figure out the orientation of things, the order of things. If I like something, am I liking the thing above it or below it? I don't know if you've found any tips for people navigating around these things.
Facebook is a busy site. There's no doubt about that. And we've actually at Freedom Scientific done some presentations on using social media with JAWS as webinars. One of the things that I really enjoy about working with Freedom Scientific is that we do invest a lot in training, and some of that training is free, including the material on social media and JAWS. So I think it's just a case of getting to know it, really. The other thing that does help some people is that some people find the mobile version of Facebook easy to use, and so they go to m.facebook.com. And although not all of the features are on that mobile site, many of the ones that most people want to use are, and it's a much less cluttered environment. For me, the main things that I want to keep up with on Facebook are people's status messages. For that, I actually use a third-party service called The Friend Mail, which you can get to by going to www.thefriendmail.com and signing up and linking your Facebook account with their service. And when you do that, you can get people's status updates via email. You can specify how frequently you want to get them, from hourly to daily, and you get a nicely formatted HTML message. Each status update is its own heading, so you can use the quick key H to move between status updates with JAWS, and there are like and comment links below every status update, and you can do the whole process by email, and I find that a fantastically efficient way to deal with the majority of my Facebook activity.
So if you actually get somebody's status update via email with Friend Mail and you comment on it, does that go back onto their wall, or is that just an email that gets sent to that person?
What happens is that the like link below each status update is actually an email link. So when you press enter on like, it opens an email message with a very cryptic address in the to field. But all you do is hit the send button, and that sends a like to the Facebook API, the application programming interface. So it's just like liking it from the website.
Oh, so that's really cool. You've got this overlayer on it so that you're interacting with email, which is a lot easier for you than interacting with Facebook, but everything you do acts as if you weren't.
Right. And the other thing about it, too, is that it's sort of platform agnostic. And so if I'm traveling and I'm clearing email on my Packmate or my iPhone, then I can still get those same emails and review my Facebook in the same user-friendly way.
So we use Facebook mostly for Viewpoints, and we announce every new episode on our Viewpoints page at Viewpoints Plus. Very rarely for personal interactions, although I do every couple of weeks check my personal Facebook page. What do you use it for?
I'm on Facebook because I need to be, rather than the fact that I like it. There are many people who are on Facebook who don't use any other social network. I also like that there are many fan pages that you can subscribe to. So musicians that I like, authors that I like. You can really keep up with a lot of people on Facebook. There are no dedicated clients for Facebook in the same way that there are for Twitter. And so I kind of find it a little bit unwieldy, but it is usable. And I think the more that you use it, like anything, the more familiar it becomes. I am encouraged by the fact that the Facebook folks are adding more and more ARIA, which is accessible rich internet application data, to their site. This is something that not all screen readers support, but JAWS does support it very well. And ARIA means that Facebook is now speaking information directly to the screen reader that is more and more helpful. And so hopefully over time, Facebook will become increasingly easier to use.
We've been talking about Facebook for a while, but you've also mentioned Twitter several times. Can you talk a little more about Twitter?
Twitter is certainly my social network of choice. I like Twitter a lot. Twitter is a very simple service, really, at its heart. And it is based on a series of 140 character messages, which are called tweets. And you can post these and talk about what you're doing, where you are, maybe sound off, have an opinion on something. But there's a lot more to Twitter than that. If you choose not to protect your updates, in other words, if your updates are visible by anyone who chooses to view them, whether they follow you or not, it's actually a very powerful networking tool. For example, a few months ago, I posted some messages about concerns that I had about the Twitter application itself for iOS. And I was contacted by one of the key developers at Twitter, who wasn't following me at the time, but just was monitoring for certain keywords. So you can track by company name or by topic name and look at the tweets of people who are tweeting on that subject. And he was obviously doing that about his app. And when he saw that, he obviously felt that I could clearly articulate what the problems were, he contacted me, and he and I struck up a relationship which has resulted in a huge accessibility improvement in the Twitter for iOS application. And there are a number of examples like that. I've posted concerns about businesses, companies that I interact with where I've had unsatisfactory service, and I've had someone contact me and resolve issues. So it's a really cool networking tool. I also use it as a source of news because you can divide your Twitter into different lists. So I have one list where I have about hundreds of news sources in that list. It can be technology news, world news, political news. And in the morning, I just quickly skim through that list of Twitter feeds and find out what's happening with the daily news. You can also use it as a kind of a form of public instant messaging. There are direct messages which allow you to send one-on-one text messages that are private. But then if someone wants to chat with you publicly, they can mention you. And what you get then is a kind of a public conversation that people can read and more people can participate in and join in. And so what you often find is that people of an evening sit around their computers and they participate in this kind of public dialogue on all sorts of topics, and people chat with one another and just shoot the breeze. It's a really great environment.
I gather that hashtags can make it a lot easier to follow a conversation on a given topic. Can you describe hashtags?
A hashtag is simply a string that begins with a number sign and means that you can do a search on that string so that even people you are not following who are tweeting on that subject will be able to communicate with you and will be able to have their message read by you. Another example of this is the CSUN conference. Everybody who was tweeting about CSUN put number CSUN12 in their tweets. And that meant, for example, that when I wanted to track what people were saying about the conference and where they were and notes about presentations I didn't have time to attend, I just told the cube to search on number CSUN12, and I was able to see all those tweets.
So do you have any hints for using Twitter with a screen reader?
Oh, yeah. Don't bother with the website. There are some very good clients out there that have been designed specifically for blind people to use Twitter, and they are just magic. They make using Twitter so efficient. The one that I'm personally using now is called The Cube, which is Q-U-B-E, and it's maintained by very courteous developers who are responsive to feedback, and it seems to work really well. So I very seldom visit the Twitter website. You do have to obviously sign up on their website, but then I would definitely get one of these Twitter clients like The Cube, designed for blind people. It talks directly to JAWS. Read the documentation, and you'll be up and running and using Twitter with amazing efficiency.
Can you explain some more about The Cube?
The Cube is not even an HTML environment, and you can actually customize precisely how Twitter speaks to you. You can have a template designed, and I have mine maximizing the efficient reading out of tweets and that kind of thing. And the nice thing about products like the Cube is it makes Twitter ubiquitous. It makes it available everywhere. So it uses keys like Control and Windows with the left and right and up and down arrow keys. And they're available everywhere. So even when I'm in Microsoft Outlook or Word working on something and I get a sound that indicates that someone has mentioned me on Twitter, I can actually look at that mention and reply to it without leaving the application that I'm in.
So you mentioned that you also use Twitter on your iPhone. Can you talk a little bit about how that's done and what you find most useful?
I actually use two Twitter apps on the iPhone. I use the official Twitter for iPhone app because it has push notifications. So what that means is that if I'm mobile and someone sends me a direct message or someone sends me a mention, I instantly get a notification that that's happened. But for serious reading of tweets, there is another app called Tweetlist, which is a third-party Twitter app that uses the Twitter API. And this company, it's a husband and wife team who've developed this app. They've shown an extraordinary and commendable commitment to accessibility. And there are all sorts of really cool things you can do with Tweetlist in terms of remembering your place, in terms of shortcuts for very efficiently replying to messages and getting to where you need to be. It does not yet support push notifications, which is the primary reason that I keep the official Twitter app around. But they say they are going to. And so I think when that happens, I may well dispense with the official Twitter app and just use Tweetlist because it's so blind friendly.
Well, maybe I'll have to give that a shot sometime.
So if you're looking for Tweetlist, guess where you go? You go to twitter.com and look for Tweetlist app. All one word, Tweetlist app. Or they have a website at zooble.com/tweetlist. That's zooble.com/tweetlist. So Twitter is apparently awesome. Jonathan talked about being able to follow hundreds of news sources and hundreds of friends and family, and not to mention his business interactions. And of course, the same question arises this week as it did last week. How do you avoid being overwhelmed by Twitter?
There certainly is the potential to be, and there's some pressure that comes with social networks. I have about 2,250 people who follow me on Twitter, and so people often expect a follow back, and I just don't have time to read the tweets of the 2,250 people who follow me. And so sometimes I have to be selective, and sometimes that can get a bit political. So it is possible to be overwhelmed, and that's where prudent use of Twitter lists is important. I guess you have kind of online acquaintances that Twitter and Facebook call friends. And in a way, I think sometimes that social networking cheapens the word friend a bit. But I have real friends in life whose tweets I never want to miss, people who are close to me, important to me. And so I do have a list of priority tweets that I always read, and that's quite a small list. And so when I'm on the road, when I'm very busy, I don't keep up with all of the Twitter stream, but I do keep up with those important people on my priority tweets list.
I was just thinking that the Pied Piper would have loved Twitter. Imagine the number of followers he could have had.
There's a thought. Now for this week's high-tech item. Facebook and Twitter are definitely the most popular and the most widely used social media sites, but there are a number of others that maybe aren't quite as well known, and Jonathan has lots of interesting information about some of these, and they can be used for fun or for work or for practical reasons, and it's kind of interesting to find out what all is out there.
So Jonathan, let us know about another app that you think our listeners might enjoy.
Foursquare is a tool that a lot of blind people are using. Foursquare is a way of telling your friends where you are, and you can check in to various places. And they've kind of made a bit of a game of it. You can check in, and sometimes you can get specials as a result of checking in. I've checked into restaurants with Foursquare, and it's come up and said, you know, show your iPhone with the special on the screen and we'll give you $10 off the bill or whatever. And that's pretty neat. But also, if you check in often enough at the same place, you can become the mayor of that place. And actually, in the last week while I've been traveling around the States, I've seen a number of occasions where Foursquare has said, hey, if you become the mayor of this airport, let us know and the airport will send you a shirt or a flag or some kind of cool commemorative thing. So it is a game. It's very competitive in a way because you're trying to get the most points possible. It shows you where you are on the leaderboard compared with other people that you have friended on Foursquare. So you can also link it with Twitter and Facebook. It's a really fun tool. I took my son to Disneyland before my current work gig started here in the United States. And we did Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and Universal Studios. And each attraction at all of those places, each roller coaster, each ride, each venue was its own Foursquare location. So by the end of that trip, I'd acquired like about 500 points on Foursquare. But some of my Twitter followers really appreciated that because it meant that my other kids back home and my wife could see in real time the rides that we were going on.
Oh, that's fun. So they kind of got to share the trip to the amusement park.
Yeah, we were actually in real time able to check in on Foursquare, and right away people could see, okay, now we're doing Space Mountain and now we're doing It's a Small World. And people were kind of excited and sharing the journey with us.
When I was a kid, Foursquare was a children's game with a bouncy ball and some chalk lines on the schoolyard, but apparently it's turned into something completely different.
And when I was a kid, tweets came from birds.
That's still true in both cases, but there's new uses of new words, or there's new uses for the old words.
Another very popular social media service for the blind community is something called Audioboo. And I guess I would describe that as a kind of like a YouTube without video. And that's why blind people like it so much. So there is a really good iPhone app for Audioboo. There is a way to upload your own pre-recorded content from your PC with Audioboo. And it's kind of like a way of sharing anything audio related with your followers. And that can also be linked to Twitter and Facebook. So when you upload an Audioboo, you can have it published to those media.
What else are we unaware of?
The other two that are somewhat noteworthy, I think, I mentioned Heytel before, which is a kind of way of text messaging by voice. That works on iOS and in Android. And there is additional functionality you can add to Heytel through the purchase of add-ons. You can create groups so that you can send a voice message to a whole bunch of people at once and they can all communicate with one another. Where that really works well is that Heytel also have been kind enough to set up public relays at big blindness events. So at last year's NFB and ACB convention, and at last year and this year's CSUN, they had the public relay set up so that everybody could hear one another and communicate with one another. So Heytel is really fun. The messages peak out at 30 seconds, so it's kind of like SMS by voice. And where that's really good is that sometimes it's just a bit of a pain to tap out a big message on the touchscreen, and it's far quicker to just pull something out of your pocket, hold a button down and say, okay, I'm at the airport now or something, and get the message out. And the other one I would mention finally is the Find My Friends app. And I don't know if you've ever read the Harry Potter books, but the Find My Friends app is kind of like the Marauder's map of social networking, because once you give permission to somebody to be on your Find My Friends app, it's not so much that you have to push your location out. It's the fact that your friends can query at any time where you are. I'm very, very selective about who I have Find My Friends shared with. This is on the iPhone. But I do have my wife, and I let my parents see this, and a couple of close friends, and they can just go into the Find My Friends app and see at any time precisely where I am without even me needing to be aware that they're checking.
That's terrific.
Oh, man, I love it.
Well, I guess for someone who's around the world as much as you are, that can be a useful application.
It is kind of neat because my mother, I just got her on the iPhone, actually. I would never have thought that she would get into this technology, but I think she felt kind of compelled to because I do so much travel and she wanted to keep up. And so she sent me a text the other day and she said, I see you're in New York now. I hope you're having a good time.
Well, I mean, you know, these things have these uses and it's just a matter of getting used to them, as you say, and just playing with them a little bit.
For our listeners who don't know Jonathan that well, he actually lives in New Zealand, but he's quite often visiting the U.S. for weeks at a time on business and attending conferences. And he is really a real advocate and a heavy user of social media. So it was great of him to share his time with us, to tell us about some of the tricks he's worked out and some of the tools that, you know, I've never heard of that he finds useful.
And if you want to hear more from Jonathan, he's the host of FS Cast from Freedom Scientific, which is a monthly podcast mostly about tools for the visually impaired. And they've talked about social media and, of course, all of the Freedom Scientific products and some more general topics as well. And you can get to that from the Freedom Scientific website at www.freedomscientific.com.
And you'll find that FS Cast very useful. They're often introducing new features in Freedom Scientific products, talking about access with various other programs, new ideas and technologies coming down the line, and it's fun.
And if you want to contact Freedom Scientific by telephone, that's either 800-444-4443 within the United States or 727-803-8000 from anywhere else in the world. We've talked about a lot of different types of social media, and this may all seem a little bit overwhelming, but you know, you don't have to start doing everything at once. It's just like the rest of life. So if any one of them sounded appealing to you, well, try it and get involved. And maybe you'll find that you can make good use of each one in its appropriate place.
And it's nice to know there are choices. You may find one is more friendly to use, one is more useful for your particular application or your particular use. So try them one at a time. Don't get overwhelmed with these things. It's very easy to get overwhelmed with the number of available applications and the special tools available within each application. So walk into it slowly, learn bit by bit, read the documentation, Google for help, and see what other people's experiences have been, and give it a shot.
And if that doesn't work, find a teenager. If you missed any of the links or phone numbers we've given, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net.
And you can also look for Viewpoints Plus on Facebook and Twitter.
And you'll find it there.
Incredible. So check out some of these social media tools. There's a vast variety of them out there, and as Jonathan points out, there is usually a way to make them accessible and some different tools you can use to navigate them well.
That's it for show number 1241. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about downloading and reading books from both Bookshare and Learning Ally on your smartphone. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.